Welcome to today's episode. Today we have Ashley Turner joining us. Ashley is not only an MA, MFTI yoga meditation instructor, she is a marriage and family psychotherapy intern, writer, and I know it's another, but she's also an ordained priestess. I wasn't totally sure what that entailed, but she explains it in today's episode, and she goes into how to blend Eastern, Western yoga techniques, meditation, philosophy, and traditional Western psychotherapy into building a life that is deeply authentic and meaningful. She is someone who has been on the path of authenticity her whole life, and she really goes into a lot of detail about how she keeps that truth alive in her life on a daily, hourly, sometimes basis. And it's not easy. And she goes through a lot of great advice and ideas on the subject. She has been on lists as 100 most influential yoga instructors in the US, 40 under 40 health and wellness sector of the Wall Street M&A advisory list, second online influencer for stress relief for Dr. Oz self-care. She is the founder of Yoga Psych and Soul Advanced Yoga Psychotherapy Training, the co-founder of Urban Priestess, and the creator of 9 best-selling yoga DVDs and online courses, and co-author of Aroa Yoga. I could go on and on and on. You can just check her out at ashleyturner.org. Find out this and so much more. We go into the courses and the things she has to offer if you're interested in going deeper into these areas. I know you're going to love today's show. Check it out. And thank you again so much for listening. Welcome to this week's episode. Today we have Ashley Turner here. Hey, Ashley, how you doing?
Hi. Thank you so much, Laura. So good to be here.
So great to have you here. And I just want to take a moment to do a little public thank you, because when I was starting off, just launching my book, getting into this world, I'm not sure if you know, but you were one of the first people who was a definite yes.
Oh, I love hearing that.
So, thank you so much. It was great chatting with you. We had such a fun conversation, and I'm so excited to do it again.
Yeah, I know. Congratulations on the book and everything you've created.
Thank you. Thank you. And I'm excited to hear your story. We were just chatting a little bit before we hopped on live, and glad we held it because I want everybody to hear it with me. You have so many components that make up your world as a yoga teacher, psychologist. You have different initiatives, the Urban Priestess Program. If you could just take us back a little bit and maybe explain to the listeners and to myself, you know, how did this develop? Did you start off in yoga? Like, what was this journey like for you?
You know, I think I always tell people it's kind of just a winding path. You know, living your authentic truth is always a winding path, kind of like a labyrinth. So I went to school out here in Los Angeles. I went to USC and I had majored in international relations. And then after school, I was actually acting for about 5 years. And while I was acting here in Los Angeles, I started going to yoga. I met really my root teacher, Govindas, who owns Bhakti Yoga Shala. Mm. And he introduced me to yoga. He introduced me to Brian Kest's Power Yoga. And I started going to that pretty religiously. And then it really started working me from the inside out. You know, the practice really was transforming. It was transforming my relationship with myself. I didn't even realize at the time, but I definitely was depressed. And so it helped lift that. And eventually, after several years, it just started to become clear that I wanted to teach yoga. So I started, and I, you know, would just think, well, if they're doing it, I could do it, you know, and very aspirational. And so then I started teaching about 5 years after I had been practicing. And about 5 years after I had been teaching yoga, I started to realize that there were so many people coming up to me, asking me questions about, you know, personal stuff, or essentially, you know, how can I take yoga off the mat? And I realized that I didn't have the tools, or I would intuitively, you know, feel into ways that I could help them, but not really have the languaging or specifics. And at the time I had a couple of friends that were getting licensed as a psychotherapist and were also yoga teachers. And I could see in them a whole different skill set. And I wanted to understand that. And I also wanted to understand how to broaden my career. You know, when I looked at my career, it was pretty simple. I felt like This is great at 25, you know, at 30 to be teaching yoga and sort of busting my ass. But when I'm 60 years old or 55, mm-hmm. you know, I don't want to be running around Los Angeles teaching 11 classes a week. So
right.
How else can I, you know, deepen this?
And one thing I would just want to pause on is this whole idea of yoga off the mat, because I'm familiar with this and people who do yoga, but when you say yoga transformed you early on, and you didn't even notice it. That happened to me as well. I was doing yoga and I thought, truthfully, I just wanted something to help me decompress a little. And it was changing me really quickly. In fact, Eric Schiffman, I think, said, you'll either do yoga and quit or you'll change. Like, those are the two options when you start doing yoga. But when you say yoga off the mat and it was shifting, what does that mean for the people out there who don't know that idea?
You know, yoga is a practice of transformation, and a lot of people typically think about yoga as a physical practice or maybe meditation and breathing, but yoga is really a very deep self-inquiry. It's very psychological. It's very spiritual. It can be very spiritual, and it's really a process of constantly inquiring into the true nature of who you are and of what life is about, and there's many, many different dimensions of that, of course, and so the practice of, you know, taking yoga off the mat, it's really the essence of the practice, which is, how do I improve my relationships? How do I create more freedom in my life? How do I create more contentment? I wouldn't even use the word happy, because I think that we naturally ebb and flow. Sometimes we're happy, sometimes we're sad. We experience all kinds of different emotions, disappointment, frustration, heartbreak. But contentment is a little different. It's about being at peace with what is, even if you're in, you know, big challenges or not, you know, happy, it doesn't mean you can't be content and at peace, you know?
Absolutely.
So yeah, I think really shifting the inner landscape, and for me, really shifting my relationship with myself, it really healed a lot of insecurity and, you know, body image issues, again, depression, and not that those things never come up, but I have a lot more skills to work with that.
So, and you saw, you know, that you wanted to take those things that you were experiencing from yoga and put more language around it using then therapy to help articulate it.
Yes, exactly. Language and, you know, relational skills, communication skills, this kind of thing. And that's one of the reasons that I wanted to go back to school and get my master's in psychology and then get licensed as a psychotherapist so that I could really understand the mind and emotional intelligence from the Western perspective, as well as from the yogic Eastern perspective. And then my work and my passion is really weaving the two and making these sort of larger, what can seem like more abstract spiritual concepts, particularly of Eastern traditions, and really land them in very practical ways for people in their life.
Yeah, that's very powerful, because I think using those Eastern traditions and being able to translate it in a way for Western people to, you know, get the value can be complicated.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Exactly.
When I first went to yoga and people were like saying these sentences, just focus on your breath and think about yourself. I'm like, what? Like, I'm looking around at all the different people doing yoga and I'm distracted and like, you know, just focus on your mat. I'm like, what?
Right. Right.
That person's doing a you know, crazy move next to me. I want to check it out. You know, so it is, it's a whole different paradigm of thinking, you know, we're just not used to in the West. So as you developed the yoga and you went into psychology, what were some of the things that you felt you were seeing time and time again with your clients?
Well, there's a few themes. I think, you know, my clientele is generally women from 25 to maybe 45. So young women that are highly educated and professional. Probably the biggest theme is relationships, romantic relationships, you know, challenges with communicating in romantic relationships, setting boundaries, really attracting a healthy, you know, strong partnership, and then everything that comes up with maintaining that partnership. So that's a big one. Another big theme is certainly body image. That's just an epidemic in our culture, particularly with women, but for women and men. And then there's a lot of work for most people around family of origin and really understanding what patterns, emotional patterns, behavioral patterns that we've inherited from our families, and it can get really intricate and murky. And so sort of teasing out, what are those patterns? What patterns do I want to take? And they're healthy and empowering. And then what patterns or behaviors or belief systems and stories are limiting and I want to leave behind, or I want to find ways to transmute that. So those are some big themes. I would also say, actually, I've actually been surprised at how many people I've worked with, that women that have some sort of eating disorder. And I just didn't realize what an epidemic that is also. So it's not like every client, but there are a lot of people out there who suffer with that. And it ties into body image for sure, but it also really ties into control and feeling safe and connected. So at the root, you know, most of these psychological issues can also be addressed deeply spiritually. So that's sort of my approach with the psychology, is a spiritual psychology or yoga psychology. So really connecting to the self, connecting to a higher power, connecting to community, different ways that we can approach the self.
And so as you like think about these themes and the things going on with your clients and how you're helping them, I noticed, you know, you're the creator of best-selling yoga DVDs, online conferences, a co-author of Essential Oils and Yoga and Life. How do you balance the decisions between, you know, these sort of Eastern solutions and the Western practice and building a life that, you know, you feel is meaningful to you and doing the work that you want to do?
Mm-hmm. That's a great question. It's definitely not so much of a conscious effort in terms of, okay, I want to bring in, you know, this much East and West. It's really instinctual. And I think this sort of speaks to the authenticity piece of every step of my career. For the most part, there has been some strategy, but there's also been equal parts mystery and surrender, and really allowing things to come to me and waiting until I'm inspired and trusting that inspiration and moving forward on projects or deals that really pique my interest, that turn me on, that light me up. Finally, I feel like just in the last few years, I've started to get better about saying no really quickly to things that just don't feel aligned. I still have a couple lingering. I just did a little project and I was like, you know, every step of the way I was resisting it. And I was just like, this is just not in alignment. And you know this, and you've already learned this lesson, but I guess you're learning it again. And so
the lesson that repeats over and over. I know I've gotten so much better at it, but then I say yes once in a blue moon. I'm like, God, you knew it. And every bone in your body was saying no, and you still did it anyways. But you know, that just brings you back to, it's a practice, right? It's not something you can ever get done perfectly. One thing I wanted to mention is this word surrender you just used, that you learned to let go and surrender. I remember you're probably the fourth or fifth person that's chosen that word. I hated that word a few years ago. I thought it meant like giving up, stepping back, being weak. Like, you know, I just remember hearing about it in the literature. I'm like, why would people keep talking about surrender? It has since become one of my favorite ideas, because it's not a weakness. It takes a lot of strength to step back and let go and trust. What does that mean to you? Why did you pick that word specifically?
I feel like I'm in a constant learning this lesson of letting go of control and surrender. It's kind of become a joke between me and my boyfriend. He's like, there it is again. You're learning how to surrender. And I'm like, I'm just like gritting my teeth. I was traveling in Europe and my computer got stolen, and, you know, that was a big surrender. And then I came back to the States and I was with my family, and then I lost my rental car keys and I had to spend a whole day, you know, waiting for the tow truck. And he was just like, you're still learning that lesson. I'm like, oh my God, meanwhile with him, I'm surrendering. And, you know,
right. Just letting things happen, right. Letting the control, the Western culture is like, just stay on it. And it does help to get a lot of things done, but you know, you just have to let go sometimes.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think that's really important as an entrepreneur to realize that you do what you can. In fact, one of my colleagues, my business partner in one of my projects, Sianna Sherman, we run our Urban Priestess program together. And it's an online course that it's a year-long online course for women, empowering women, and specifically through the priestess tradition. We both have done different priestess trainings and weave in 13 different archetypes of the divine feminine and go through one each moon cycle. But she is really, even more deeply connected, I would say, to the divine feminine. And she has really taught me so much about surrender in business, because I can tend to have a very business entrepreneurial, more left brain approach and kind of get really caught up in all of that with launching projects. And she just stays really, really fluid. Like, okay, well, this happens. And, you know, sometimes that can be challenging for me, but it's also a great teaching for me of how to let go of control and how to trust that, you know, there's other forces at work. You know, there is everybody's, you know, there's so many factors that we can't control in any given scenario, whether it's your relationship, your kids, your career. And so it's kind of a 50-50, I think, you know, where you do your best and you make your best laid plans and try to follow through and have systems and support around you that's going to help you meet deadlines and this kind of thing, that very left brain masculine. But then at the same time, you really trust the mystery of what's coming. And, you know, hindsight is 20/20. I can look back on my career now and say, oh, that's why that happened. Or, oh yeah, I got those, you know, I did create those 8 yoga DVDs and I, you know, was a production company came to me and I did it and it was actually a great collaboration. But now I can see all the skills that I learned from that and building that that are really helping me now. So
yeah, that it's all coming together in a way that does make sense, but you just can't see it in the moments.
A lot of times you can't see it while you're in it and it makes sense later. You know, like I, for example, I was teaching aerobics in college back in the 90s at USC. I was teaching aerobics and I didn't really think anything of it. I loved it. And I had so much fun and it was a great workout. But then when I started teaching yoga about 8 years later, I realized, oh, all those skills of teaching group classes and movement. And this is where I honed those skills, you know, and I would have never had any idea that it would become my career.
Yeah. It's that sense of letting go of knowing and thinking you're the one always in control of every moment. You know, I was an entrepreneur and I thought, okay, I'm done with entrepreneurship. And I moved on, you know, as I said to you right before we hopped on this call, but you know, I'm writing a book and I'm an author now. It's totally, well, back came the, you know, writing a book nowadays, you are an entrepreneur again. And all those skills are serving me so well. And it's like, oh, I didn't waste those years like learning you know. But we just, I think that belief in a moment that we know what's best and it should be that way and just letting go of those things. What do you do to help you move through those moments in a more graceful way so it doesn't, you know, just ruin your day?
When you're really challenged or.
Yeah. And you're trying to surrender and you're trying to let go and it's just the battle, it starts up.
Mm-hmm. You know, I think it's really, really important to have a strong system of support and mentors. I mean, I call my mentors, you know, Sean Korn is an incredible yoga teacher and one of my best friends and has been a mentor for me all the way along. And you know, I always call her in moments of despair, you know, or frustration. And some other very good friends, my girl, Terry Cole, who would be great actually for this podcast as well. And she's a psychotherapist out of New York City, you know, and Sienna, my colleague, and, you know, just having those people around that I can really count on that I know are going to give me really honest support and advice and reflection and help me see things more clearly and keep me grounded. And I'm lucky my sisters are like that too. So yeah. I'm just constantly calling people and, you know, and I do therapy. I do therapy every week. I was at my therapist yesterday. I mean, I process a lot and I think it's important to, you know what skills are really going to help you. You know, knowing your weak spots, knowing whether, you know, what do you tend towards? Is it fear? Is it anxiety? Is it depression? You know, what are sort of your weak spots? And then when those kick in, knowing what tools you have to as an anecdote for that.
Yep. Yeah. How to fortify yourself a little more in those moments. And so talk to me about this Urban Priestess program. I'm so interested. You've created an online course. Can you explain it a little bit, what this is? Is it, it's a...
Yeah, it's amazing. So as I said, I've actually been building the brand Urban Priestess for about 10 years. Yeah. And I had done a priestess training in 2005, 2006. Interestingly, in my typical fashion, I started my priestess training at the same week I started my master's in psychology. Oh my. And I thought, oh, this is no big deal. I'm going to do both of these and work full time in yoga. And, you know, about two months into it, I was like, what did I do? I'm so underwater. You know, my priestess training was, it was amazing. And so I always
could you back up for like a half a second even and explain to some of us what a priestess training means? Because I think there's probably
So the word priestess is, it's a great word. It's actually an archetype of the feminine, an archetype meaning certain aspects of, you know, sort of a constellation of personality traits and ways of behavior. And the priestess archetype is, it's the same as the priest archetype, which if you think of it sort of in the oversimplified Judeo-Christian version or even the Catholic version, priest is the one who sort of translates down the message of God. And so the essence of the priestess is that she is connected to the spiritual realms and able to translate that, able to like tapping into intuition, really being in a place of sovereignty, being in a place of empowerment, knowing how to wield power in different situations. And that doesn't mean necessarily external power or power over anyone. It's really about being empowered within yourself. In other words, knowing how to take action that's aligned with your truth, being confident in your decisions, being confident in your skills. Also, it has a deep quality of the feminine, such as being very receptive. One of the symbols is a symbol of water, and so, or the chalice or the cauldron. These are often associated with the priestess. And so when you think about water and being very fluid, but being very clear and transparent, like a looking glass. So if someone is in your presence, your field is so clear that you can offer them a clear reflection of who they are, right? So in other words, you're not running out all of your stuff on them. You're able to really connect with them from a place of authenticity and help them see that within themselves as well.
Yeah, that's beautiful. I love that idea. Mm-hmm. And so you've created a program around this concept?
Yeah. So our program is a year-long mastermind program for women. And it's basically each moon cycle, every 28 days or approximately every month, we go through a different archetype of the divine feminine. So we go through, we start with the archetype of the priestess. That's sort of the hub of the wheel. And then we do use the astrological calendar. So each moon cycle is associated with that house of astrology. So for example, Cancer is associated with the mother archetype. It's the typically Cancers are, it's actually is the mother in the wheel of the zodiac. Scorpio is associated with the queen of death, transformation, rebirth. Aquarius is associated with the midwife and that which really like brings forward and activates community. We're in, you know, Leo. So that's the primal goddess, the wild woman, accessing that more, you know, sort of wild, raw power. So it's really, we go through each realm of life, each house of life. So relationships, career, you know, creativity and play, communication, sexuality, body and health and vitality, home and family, finance, and each moon we focus on a different aspect of life and the different archetype associated with it. And then we have all kinds of different skills from more esoteric and building rituals around it to really practical psychological tools. And it's really fun.
Wow. And how many people join? Is it something that you join and then you go through all the whole year together as a group?
Yeah. You go through the whole year together. We have a couple hundred people signed up for this year that we're completing. We have just a couple months left. And then we'll start, and we're actually in the middle of launching our next program for next year. So I'll send you the link and you can get that to everyone. Yeah.
That's amazing. If somebody's interested in checking it out, they can find it on your site, right? Like,
AshleyTurner.org. Exactly. Or you can go to urban-priestess.com.
That sounds really, really, really interesting. And so everybody who comes on the show, I ask them a couple questions. And so I just want to, if it's okay, run you through this.
And
I'm dying to know because you think about this all the time, but what does an authentic life really mean to you?
You know, I think it's really important to give ourselves space that authenticity is constantly changing. And I think it means tuning into your truth and living from that place. And again, that's a day-to-day dialogue with self and also having the courage and the confidence to pursue that truth. So, and also actually it takes a lot of discipline sometimes. Like I'm thinking for me, you know, it really comes down to values and it comes down to priorities. So, you know, I just had an incredible month-long vacation in Europe, which was so amazing. And then I came back and I'm like, okay, it's time to really get back on the workout schedule, get back to, you know, my health and do a little detox and this kind of thing. And that takes discipline to change those habits, you know, and switch those patterns. But I think, you know, living authentically is looking inside for the answers, truly looking inside for the answers and not being afraid to, you know, go against the grain and not be afraid to try new things and change and reincarnate.
Did you have like a turning point moment where you started living more authentically, or it sounds like something you've been building and building throughout your whole career?
Yeah, you know, I guess I feel like I'm really, really lucky in the sense that I was born into an incredible family. And the message that I always got from my parents was, you can do anything you want. You know, you can do anything you want. You can go to any school you want to go to. And so I really did, you know, from the beginning, I really did follow my dreams. Mm-hmm. And I didn't know what that was going to look like. And my parents were very gracious and that they always supported my dreams, even when they seemed like pipe dreams, you know, I mean, acting, for example, you know, is not something that a lot of parents would be supportive of. And my parents are just like, all right, let's go for it. Like, how can we help you? What can you do? You know, and then that led me into yoga. And then I kind of have always had a really strong entrepreneurial spirit. So that's been good. That's really, yeah.
Yeah. And for somebody who's been following your dreams for a long, long time, one of the messages I hear you saying is that it wasn't just like, I found my dream and then I was happy, 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 which is, if people listen to my show, have heard me say this a lot of times, but I feel like blog posts and stuff simplify it in 500 words, mm-hmm. you know, mm-hmm. find your passion and then you'll be there and you'll be all set. But it's really like, even for somebody who was given the privilege to do these things from a very young age, you're constantly, like you said, every day tuning into yourself to ask yourself what your truth is.
Yeah, every day. And I think the other part of it is there's a lot of, you know, there's a grind. I mean, there is, like, to be an entrepreneur is challenging. There's a lot, it takes a lot of grunt work. There's a lot of, you know, blood, sweat, and tears involved. And I'm really hard worker. And
yeah,
I think it's easy. You know, there's sort of the tendency, I think, now with the internet and social media, everybody's looking at each other's highlight reels and just to think, oh, I mean, I can just become a coach and make a couple $100,000. And you totally can. And it's going to take a lot of work, you know, and it's a very, you know, like anything, it's, you get out of it what you put into it. So I think it's important to not just look with rose colored glasses, you know.
Yeah. And so the last question I love to ask people is, what are your habits, your daily practices to keep an authentic life going? And for somebody like you, it sounds like you'd have a lot. What are your, you know, detoxes and yoga practice? What are some of the things you do that you feel are critical to keeping your truth and authentic choices?
Yeah, I mean, first of all, meditation, number one, two, and three.
Do you meditate every day? Is that like a...
I definitely try to. There are days that I don't sit down and at my altar and meditate, you know, and I can feel a difference, you know, especially if it's more than a few days. So I definitely, even if it's 5 minutes, you know, 10 minutes before a phone call or something, I definitely try to do that because it's just, it just quiets the mind and connects me to spirit. It's an opportunity to pray and just set an intention and just to sit with my own priorities and say, okay, this is what I'm creating. This is what I'm doing. So meditation is huge. Mm-hmm. Exercise is equally as important to me. I think that I like to do a lot of different things. I don't just do yoga. I do a lot of yoga, but I also run and do Pilates and hiking. And yeah, I think all of that is really key and crucial as well. So just finding what works for your constitution and your body type and your psyche, really.
Because not everybody is like a big athlete, like somebody like you who's been teaching yoga and aerobics. I mean, you must have been athletic most of your life.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah. So I think it's great that you say that, you know, everybody's got a different constitution, right? There's no magic answer. It's just finding what works with your life and your body.
Yeah, for sure. Absolutely. So I would say there's kind of four primary things. Meditation, number one, exercise, number two, Number three is getting out in nature. I think being in nature is really, really important. Mm-hmm. And it just tunes us into the world in a very different way, which is so important to remember sort of the grandness of who we are and what's going on, what's really going on. And then connecting with your community, you know, again, really building super strong friendships and mentorships and colleague relationships that you can go to. And, you know, as a psychotherapist, one of the things that we're taught to do is to do peer supervision, which is to turn to your peers. If you have a question about a client or a case, you know, go to your peers, have three or four people in your back pocket that you can call and say, hey, I'm struggling with this with my client. What are your suggestions? And so it's important to have that in our lives, whether it's, you know, personally or professionally.
Yeah.
So I think community support is really important.
And for people out there that don't have a big network and are looking to get started, you have this tremendous network of people that you have created. How do you, what would you suggest for somebody to, because I believe in having a network and a community and mentors and that you can call, especially as an entrepreneur. How did you get that started? How did you tap into?
That's a great question, Laura. I think that it's important to, you know, just honestly look around at who are your biggest competitors, you know, if you will, and then befriend them, you know, find a couple that you really think are, because I don't really believe in competition. I think there's enough to go around for everybody. So, you know, all of my best friends are yoga teachers or therapists. Yeah. So in one sense, yeah, we could be vying for the same client for sure. And on another sense, there's more than enough to go around, and we're all facing quite similar challenges. So let's help each other out, you know?
Yeah, that's such a great, I love that. Call your competitor.
Yeah.
Awesome. I love it. Thank you so much, Ashley, for coming on and sharing such great information with the audience. And again, if they're looking to find out more about you, where can they find you?
Yes. Thank you so much. You can just go to my website. It's ashleyturner.org or ashleyturner.co. I have both. And then everywhere I'm on Facebook and Instagram. And, but yeah, ashleyturner.org. If you want to know more about my training for the Urban Priestess, it's urban-priestess.com. And then I have an awesome yoga psychology training, which is 6 modules of really weaving together the Eastern and Western approaches. And that's yoga-psychology.co. So yeah, but that's all on my website.
Is that for people who are doing, who do you have to be a yoga teacher or a psychologist to do that?
No, you definitely don't. You definitely don't. You can be, you know, it's also for lay people. We have an online course that you can take that's just really giving you a lot more information on the nuances of the practice of, you know, sort of the deeper practices of yoga, not so much just the physical asana, but mantra, working with mantra, meditation, neuroscience, definitely working with the chakra system as a developmental psychology, working with, there's a business and leadership training that's yoga based, conscious relationships and sacred sexuality. So it's kind of all encompassing, very different modules.
My God, you're like a curriculum machine. I love it.
I have been pumping out a lot of content. It's a little crazy.
As someone who's done some of this, I could just say she's offering a lot here. Thank you so much, Ashley. And again, I appreciate you coming on the show.
Thank you so much, Laura. Take care.